Hey y'all, it's A Few Minutes with the Pew podcast. I'm Lily.
And I'm Maddie.
And we have a passion to see people make Jesus number one in their everyday lives.
We want to get serious about being serious for Jesus. Will you join us?
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. We are really excited to have you here joining us in the studio for yet another episode. And not just any episode, but a rapid fire questions episode, which you guys absolutely love. And if you're new here, I haven't done this in a really long time. If you're new here, thank you so much for stopping by and for joining us on the show. We are so thrilled that you're here and we hope that you'll stick around and that you enjoy this episode. If you're interested in learning more about our ministry and who we are and what we do, then be sure to check out our blog. We always link that in the description of every single episode that we upload. That is kind of our main place for you to connect with us. That is where we have blog posts, resources, our podcast episodes are on there as well. Just a whole bunch of good stuff, kind of our story and how we got started. All of that info is over there on the blog, so be sure to check that out if you are just now joining us for the first time. But we're so glad to have you here. If you are new to the show or you have been around here for a while, you guys know Rapid Fire Questions episodes are some of our very favorites. So if you have not listened to any of our previous ones, go back and listen to those because they're so good and funny and entertaining and challenging because we have a wide range of questions that we ask each other. And how we do this is Maddie and I both find questions and we both have absolutely no idea what these questions are prior to recording. So you guys are getting to hear our just rapid fire answers to these questions and we have no idea what we're going to say. We have no idea what the answer should be. We're just giving you what we think in the moment. And so that makes it really fun. But if you guys would like to share your answers to these questions with us, we would absolutely love to hear from you and you can email us your answers and connect with us in that way. So, Maddie, I'm going to start off with your question first.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah, it better not be like last time. If y'all remember last time, Lily asked me some questions that were just like, I don't even have a plausible answer for that. Like, I literally had no idea what to answer on some of hers. I came up with something in the end, but better not be like that this time. She was making my brain work overtime. Last rapid fire episode.
Yes, some of our questions are extremely hard, but I think I went a little easier this time for you. And so I hope that these are good. The first one is just a really, really good one, I think. I'm not sure how I would answer this, but it's really difficult. And no, I'm just kidding. All right, the first one is, could the world make any progress if technology didn't exist?
Yes. I think the world could make a ton more progress if we didn't have technology. Mom and I were actually just talking about this the other day, you know, in casual conversation about how much our world has devolved, especially just since like computers and phones and TVs and all of those things have become so much better and have become very mainstream. And you don't just have like the good old house phone or, you know, your landline. And we are constantly spending our time getting subscriptions to new streaming services because, oh, there's a new show that we want on there and I want to waste 4 hours of my life watching it. And, you know, obviously I'm guilty of some of these things. Like, I waste time watching shows. But I think that definitely when we look at our critical thinking abilities as human beings and at our scientific progress over the last even decade, we have become so much dumber because of technology. And obviously, this question does not simply mean like, oh, would we be better off without phones? Would we be better off without computers, without TVs, different things like that? Yes, we would. If it was just those things, yes, I think we would be better off without those. But I also think that just a lot of the other technology that we have, including like automobile technology and things like that, are really, they're degrading our ability to be creative. It's so weird to me that that's how things have panned out, because you'd think that the more resources we have, the more ability we have to be creative, the more creative we will be. But instead, it has become the opposite of that. And the more that we are able to be creative, the less creative that we are. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really sad because that's kind of been our reputation as Americans and stuff. And this actually goes a little with a question that I picked up for Lily. Maybe we'll follow this one up with my question that kind of relates to this. But like me and mom were just, we were watching a... Speaking of wasting time watching shows.
You're watching a show.
We were watching a show, a murder mystery show. British, obviously, because who watches American TV anymore? Not us. And we were just looking at, it was set in like 1940s, 1950s. And you just look at the fashion sense. You look at the cars, the houses, the architecture, you know, all of this stuff that is just so beautiful and so intentional in the way that it is designed. And it is intentionally made beautiful. And now you look at things and you're like, this car is literally just a blob in front of my face. And there's no real craftsmanship in it. There's no real excellence in it. And I mean, look at the technology that we do have, first of all. The technology that we do have in almost every area, scientific, personal technology that we use, literally all of it goes bad in 3 years at the most, probably. I mean, you look at like Apple intentionally creating their phone so that the battery only lasts for so long that you have to end up getting a new phone. And really, it's no better than your last one. It's just the cameras are diagonal instead of straight up and down now. And there are a couple of new emojis. And that's what we get really excited about. That's what we think is creativity. I think that that is just baffling to me, that the technology that we do have, we don't strive to be as creative as possible in making it the best that it can be. Mm. I think that that would change my perception of technology a little bit, maybe, if we were saying, okay, this is a really good piece of technology right now, but let's make it great. Let's make it into something that does last a really long time. Let's stop being so focused on being a consumer company and let's start being a company that people can rely on for quality and for really interesting and creative stuff. And I think that that's obviously been an issue with, I think, every single element of our world today. I mean, creativity is a lost art. And I think that technology has definitely made that so in a lot of ways, because technology enables us to be lazy and it enables us to not be creative because we have something that will be creative for us. I mean, I was just working on a book that I'm writing the other day and my laptop had just updated not too long ago and I got this little AI assistant thing that I guess Microsoft has just added to some of their different stuff, and it like shows up at the bottom and everything, and I'm writing this book and I was trying to think of a way to describe this very totalitarian, dark building that I'd already like constructed it in my mind, knew what I felt like it looked like, but I wanted something where like this is the visual that I want my readers to have in their mind when they're reading this. And so I was like, you know what? I'm gonna use my little AI assistant and see what it can come up with. And so I put a little prompt in there for it and tell it kind of what I want, the vibe I want, you know, all of this stuff. And it comes up with this incredible building, exactly what I was thinking of, but better, and like something that I was definitely like, put that on the cover of this book because that is exactly what I wanted. And yet then after I did it, I was like, that's so dumb. Like, why did I not really put in the time to perfect my craft and make it better without the assistance of technology? Because those are always the best books that you read, and the best things that you consume are the things where someone relied wholly on their creativity. They did not rely on technology to just make everything for them. And so I kind of kicked myself after that because I was like, I should have just poured in the time that it took to write these two paragraphs about this building so that my readers have a really good picture of it, and then made it into my own kind of thing, not something that AI can just whip up for me in 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I definitely think that technology is more destructive than it is useful in a lot of ways. I know some people would disagree with me on that probably, but that's kind of my hot take mm-hmm. on it, I guess. So, okay, moving right along to a question that I think goes along with this in some ways. If she answers the way that I would answer this question, if she doesn't, I guess she could take it in a whole different way. Why do you think Americans have always been considered and upheld the reputation of being more creative than other people groups? in a lot of different ways. I mean, this even applies to like technology. We have created a lot of state-of-the-art technology, mm-hmm. come out with it sooner than everybody else has. And a lot of the stuff that America creates is just stuff that the world copies. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of been like our reputation for a long time, goes along with American exceptionalism and stuff. So like, why do you think that is? Why do you think Americans have the capacity to be more creative if they utilize mm-hmm. that ability?
I think there are a lot of different answers that I could go with. And I have just like three that I'm going to hit on. Okay.
Okay.
First, we have always striven to be exceptional in all that we do. Mm-hmm. And so we have not settled to create cheap Chinese junk, right? We don't settle for that. So Americans have always taken pride in their work. Now, I think we're losing a lot of that. And yeah. I think that that is why we're seeing a lot of the things that we have and a lot of the things that we own aren't lasting as long and all of that stuff, because now we're just mass producing things. You know, mm-hmm. we're not really taking the time to create a good refrigerator or a good oven or a good car or something like that. You know, now it's just mass produced and mm-hmm. send it out the door, and most of our parts are from China. Anywho, if you can't tell, I am against
Lilius making for made in America product. That's what I almost said. Made in America products, people.
Yes. And so I think that that is definitely one reason. I think another reason is that we've always had the freedom to do so. Mm-hmm. We have always had the freedom to be the best. And so many other countries, in fact, I would say every other country that you look at, you see that they are very controlled. Mm-hmm. They are told what to create. They are told what to build. They are told what to produce by, you know, the leadership of their business or by the government. Oftentimes, the mm-hmm. government is controlling a lot of that stuff. And so these people are just working. And so they have no freedom to think outside of the box. How could we make this car better? How could we build something that no one's ever thought of before and yeah. take pride in that? And so I think those two things go hand in hand, that we have, as Americans, always had the freedom to do as we please. And obviously, that's what our founding fathers fought for and died for, because they believed that individuals have freedom. They are all equal and they have the ability to create things that other people don't think of and mm-hmm. don't have the freedom to create. And so they wanted to give us that privilege and that freedom to do so. And so I just think that that is definitely one of the main reasons, as well as that we've taken pride in that. And we take pride in that because we have the freedom to do that. Yeah. You wouldn't be able to take pride in work or anything like that when you have no freedom to think outside of the box or to do something original and unique. But then you don't have people like Carroll Shelby, who designs the Shelby Mustang, mm-hmm. right? Who can take pride and joy in that and say, I designed this. I worked hard to create something that was totally different than what we had seen before mm-hmm. in the industry of vehicles and of cars. And so I think that that is just something that we have been blessed with as Americans, right? Yeah. We have been so blessed in that area, and a lot of us don't realize it, and we're letting that slip away, and we are becoming like every other mm-hmm. country, which is very sad to see, especially in the consumer society that Maddie was talking about earlier. We just consume, consume, consume.
Yeah.
And due to that, we really don't have time as individuals to work on something and pour our heart into something unique and original, because we just have to create this many cars this year, and so mm-hmm. just pump them out. And so I think that those are definitely a couple reasons. But also, you have the Lord who has blessed our country with that freedom. Yeah. It is only because of Him and His will that we are able to experience this freedom and be unlike any country we have ever seen before. Mm-hmm. And that is because our founding fathers started with Him in mind. He was the focus. He was yeah. the central governing deal in our government. And now we have lost that. We have lost that almost entirely, I would mm-hmm. say. And so I think that we have to be very careful to realize that that freedom to even just create and to build unique things comes from Him. That's a privilege. Mm-hmm. That is a freedom that comes directly from Him, and not just from ourselves or not just from our government,
yeah.
but it comes from the Lord ultimately.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's approved. That's exactly what I was going to say, is mm-hmm. we are the most creative because we're the most free.
Right.
Like, that is the only reason. And because we have been blessed with that by the Lord, like 110%. Mm-hmm. There's no way that anyone is creative without the Lord's handiwork in it.
Right.
I mean, even, you know, as we're talking, I'm thinking, okay, well, let's think of some other people who have been extremely creative and extremely innovative. And the first country to come to mind is Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And that is 100% because they are blessed by the Lord, because right. they are the Lord's chosen people, and he enables them to have these incredibly intelligent people and to have the best of various technological advances and the best of some of the world's militaries and different things like that. And that's only because the Lord has blessed them
mm-hmm.
and favors them in a lot of ways as his chosen people. And I think that, yeah, then America falls right under that. Also, obviously, we are not explicitly God's chosen people, but any country who makes God the center of their government and the center of their creativity is going to be blessed by him, because he enjoys being glorified by us, because that's what he created us to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, we're going to switch a little bit. This has to do with more of like romantic relationships, but mm-hmm. I have seen this all over social media.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because a lot of young people are wondering what to do in their current relationship. Mm-hmm. And so then they ask this question. So I'm going to get your take on it, because honestly, it's a little confusing because
Great.
People
Great.
Are, well, you know how people ask questions yeah. in our culture. That's just like, what? Like,
get over
How
it.
Did you even get that? yeah. The question is, do you believe in right person, wrong time?
Oh, man.
Or if it was the right person, there wouldn't be a wrong time.
Yeah. Okay.
yeah.
yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I see this a lot, especially as someone who's very involved in the book side of Instagram, because there are a lot of romance tropes where it's right person, wrong time, mm-hmm. or
it's a big
you know,
deal.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that are interested in this. And I think our society has made it too mainstream to expect that in some relationships.
Yeah.
But I would probably say that I go with the latter. I think that the Lord has created us to be with the person that he has created for us. And so I think that for people who are in relationships, and this is why like hookup culture has been so detrimental,
mm-hmm.
we are experiencing a lot of wrong time relationships. But I don't think that if it's the wrong time, I don't think it's the right person, because if you're able to let them go so easily simply because, oh, it's not the right time, like my career is really crazy, school's really crazy, I wanted to graduate with my PhD before I got into a relationship, and you know, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that if you can come up with all of these excuses to not be together, that that's the right person. Now, I think that obviously a lot of us are going to come up with reasons where it's like, okay, maybe this could be a reason why we shouldn't be together. But I think that if you are really trying to have a relationship that is centered around the Lord and glorifies him, I think that you're going to have other overwhelmingly positive things where you're like, okay, no, the Lord totally designed it this way, that we met each other at this time, that we were both in this season of life and were both able to come alongside one another in those seasons. Not necessarily that they're the same. I think a lot of people expect it to be like, okay, well, when I find the right person, we're both going to be in the exact same season. Like, mm-hmm. we will both have just graduated with our PhD, and we will both be starting at our new law firms, and then, like, we'll be established there, and that will be a good time to get married or, you know, to, like, really get serious about our relationship. No. I think that, honestly, the most fundamental and important part of a relationship is being able to work with each other in seasons that are not the best case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're only able to work together in seasons that are perfect and seasons that are fun and that are fulfilling and are just great, where you're doing what you love and, you know, there's not a problem in sight, if that's the only way that you can thrive in a relationship, and then as soon as that season changes and as soon as you go back to school in the fall, it falls apart and you can't be together because you both are just selfish, then no, I don't think that that's the right person. Mm-hmm. But I don't necessarily think that it's the wrong time
mm-hmm.
either. That could have been the right time and then you just screwed it up.
Right.
Because honestly, you know, we're human. We do that. And it's unfortunately a cross that we must bear. But I don't really believe in the right person, wrong time thing, because I do believe that a lot of us have one person, and that person will be put into our life at the time that the Lord has ordained and mm-hmm. has willed. And so I think that, yeah, if you're really with the right person, it doesn't matter the time. And that can obviously be scary for some of us who are not involved in hookup culture and stuff and aren't mm-hmm. like pursuing relationships wherever we might possibly be able to find them. That can be kind of scary for us. Like, I'm definitely like that, where I am just waiting for that person to kind of show up, and preferably the Lord will just drop him on my doorstep because I don't go anywhere. But yeah, mm-hmm. I think that it's right person, right time always, mm-hmm. if it's actually the right person.
I think the right person, wrong time mindset is really just so revealing about our commitment issues as yeah. a society and as a culture, because people are so focused on themselves mm-hmm. that it's like, maybe you are the right person, but for me personally, like, I just have a lot going on, and so I'm gonna prioritize myself over you.
Yeah.
And that is not marriage. That is not the church. That is not what Jesus has shown us how marriage is supposed to be and how he designed it at mm-hmm. all. Like, do you think it was an ideal time for Jesus to go to the cross? No, I don't think so. So, like, if that is the picture of marriage and the picture of Christ dying for his church and
the picture
fully
of love
committing himself, period. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so this right person, wrong time is really just a self-centered mindset to have, and yeah. it's like, oh, I don't really want to commit fully to you. I just want the relationship for fun, for right now, or whatever. And that's not how dating is supposed to look. That is not how it's supposed to be. And yet, like you said, the hookup culture that we have going on now and all of that stuff, it has deceived so many young people into thinking this is true. And I think that that causes so much anxiety and stress yeah. in relationships too, because you're constantly thinking, like, well, maybe I'm just not seeing it. Maybe I'm just blind to this. Maybe.
And if there's one little hiccup in the timeline, my gosh, like, yes. we're done for.
Right. We can't work it out. Mm-hmm. No, that's the whole point of a relationship, is that you do that together and that builds your bond and that builds your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But that requires a lot of commitment. That requires total commitment to that person.
Yeah.
So if you're not willing to do that, then you need to get right with Jesus. That's all I got to say.
Period. Well, and I think that our culture has really romanticized this concept a lot.
Yes, they make it seem so cute and like, yeah. oh, I need to put myself first. No. Uh-huh.
Well, and also in a lot of different things, like, I was just telling one of my friends about this movie that I had watched that completely destroyed me. And it was like, oh my gosh, it was kind of that right person, wrong time type thing. And when you get to the end of the movie, you see how these two characters' lives would have ended up completely differently if they had chosen each other over everything else. And you start the film by being like, oh my goodness, I just love and adore the commitment that these two have to their passions, to the jobs that they're passionate about. And neither of them are being successful in these passions, but they're both like, it's an undying passion where they just love it so much. It's what they have to do. It's not just what they're meant to do. It's what they have to do. And you start the film by admiring that so much in both of them and thinking, oh my goodness, I just wish that I had that something where I just so intensely need to do it that I can't even do anything else. Like, that's just what I was made to do and what I have to do. And then you get to the end of the film and the two characters don't end up together, and it is very much that right person, wrong time trope, because they were very much in love and then they just kind of drifted apart because they put those two passions that they had over everything else and had kind of come to this agreement where it was like, right now you need to pour everything that you have into this opportunity that you've gotten to do what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to do that. And they come to this like mutual understanding that is honestly really sweet to like see how they support each other in that. But then you get to the end of the film and you get this kind of alternate look at, here's what would have happened though if they had chosen each other no matter what time they were in.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to see how they would have had this like incredible, beautiful life. And I'm telling you, I was sobbing. Literally sobbing as I was watching this, because it was just like, oh my goodness. I literally was praying after. I was like, Lord, never let me end up like that where I miss what you put right in front of me because I feel like what I'm meant to do is more important than anything else, including relationships with other people, not just romantic, but every relationship, mm-hmm. family, friendships, doesn't matter. Like, let me love people more than I love anything that you give me. Like, I'm going to love whatever you give me wholeheartedly. And I want to do what I'm meant to do. But don't ever let me pass up something that you have also given me that may require me to work a little harder to do what I was meant to do, to divide my attentions between the two things and at the same time devote my full attention to both. And that film romanticizes the right person, wrong time type thing. Mm-hmm. And you like love this couple and it's like, okay, but maybe it really was the wrong time. And, you know, they both needed to end up with other people or end up doing these different careers and stuff. I don't think so. I think that the alternate life that you see is the life they should have lived and the life that they should have pursued. And they should have set aside those passions and been like, we come first, because this is something that you don't encounter very often. And for those of us as Christians, this is something the Lord has put together. Like, the Lord has brought us together. And so this is more important than anything else. And then I think, you know, once again, if you use that to glorify the Lord and to be like, Jesus put us together, so this is more important than anything else. I think that the Lord blesses you in that, and he can bless you with opportunities to do what you were made to do. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's going to be something completely different than you thought in the first place. Maybe you're not meant to do that thing that you so passionately desired and chased after. Maybe it's something completely different that is revealed to you in this season where you say, I'm going to put my love for others above my love for anything that has been placed in my life.
Right.
That was not rapid at all. I'm sorry, but you know, that is a good topic, and maybe we'll do a full episode about that or something. Okay, kind of a short one, but I'm interested to see your response. I think I know what you're going to answer, but I'm interested to see your explanation. What's more important, science or art? Wow, I'm surprised you don't have just like an instinctive like boom answer, because I totally did.
Oh, man. I don't know. That's kind of hard. Really? I mean, my instinctive answer is art.
Period.
Yeah, because science has, unfortunately, the scientific field has gotten really messy. And it has distracted us, I would say, from the Lord and from his intentions for us as humans. And so, and in our world as well, we prioritize science over everything, you know, just trust the science, right? That's all we heard in 2020. And that really, I guess that is kind of why I have a negative science now, because I don't
trust. But that wasn't real science.
Exactly. But I don't trust anything in the name of science now, if that makes sense. Because I test everything. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't scientific studies and things that are correct. I'm not saying that at all. I know that there are. But I don't trust them just right off the bat.
Yeah.
And I would say that for everyone, like, we need to test those things and discern if they're from the Lord or not. Because there are so many people out here who are using the name of science and just that label to lead people astray. And that is happening in our government. That is happening in the medical field more than I can even tell you. And I mean, we've written about this, the aborted fetal tissue and vaccines, all the things that we're seeing in the scientific field that have just been labeled good because they're scientific. It's so wrong. And it's the enemy working in that way, because in the past, we have been able to trust science. We have been able to trust that, okay, they have tested this hypothesis. They have really studied this out and they have come to this conclusion and they have dedicated time and effort to really determining whether or not this is true. And so whatever their conclusion, I can trust their conclusion.
Yeah.
And nowadays, we are just so, because we, again, because we live in a consumer society, we are just so quick to, okay, I just need a really quick and easy answer to this problem that I'm having. And so, okay, yes or no, true or false, whatever, that's the solution. Just be done. Just trust it. Don't take the time to study it for yourself. Don't take the time to really think through it. Ask other people for their opinions or whatever. And so now we just immediately trust the science. As where art is much more, in my opinion, experimental. It's much more reflective of what is true, good, and beautiful, and allows people, and I would say encourages people, to think for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I'm talking about art, I'm thinking of like classical, you know, traditional art. In its purest
form.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Not just some spray paint on a poster. You know, like that's not the art that I'm talking about. I think that things that are truly beautiful and that are truly art are the things that point us to Christ, ultimately. I think we did an episode on this, yes, didn't we?
I bring up art in almost every one of our rapid fire question episodes because I just love talking about it. But yeah, at one point I did ask Lily, like, what is art and what isn't art?
Okay.
And yes, is there a limit to where art becomes something other than art?
Yes.
I think that's the last one.
Yeah. That was a really good one. Yeah.
All of my questions about art are always very good. Yeah. No. Y'all are welcome.
So I think that is probably my answer. I'm not sure if I'm understanding the question.
No, there. I think you are.
Okay.
Because I definitely would have said art, like,
boom, well, that, and that right out of the gate. That was my instinctive answer. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I was trying to think, like, your question was which one is better, right? Or more important?
More important.
More important. So I would say...
Yeah. That is where it gets a little answer. Trickier.
What's yes, more important? Mm-hmm. What do I want to go with? Art, yeah, for sure.
Well, and I think that, yeah, as you have talked about it, it's gotten more muddled in my yes, mind a little bit too. Not necessarily muddled, but, you know, I'm thinking about it more. And I think that it's all about things remaining their true selves, mm-hmm, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
So, like, art, we have gotten to that point, I think, where we've crossed the line where art isn't art anymore. Mm-hmm. And in various different forms, like music especially, I think is where that has gone way wrong.
Yes.
But that's not to say that the only interpretation of musical art is Beethoven or Mozart or Chopin. Like, that's not it. But that was some of the most pure art because it came directly from the heart and something that was not made for a consumer society. It was made to be performed and made to be soul-wrenching. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, okay, Taylor Swift is coming out with her, well, by the time we posted this, she's just come out with her new album on Friday. She's coming out with that because she wants people to glorify her and to listen to her music and make her money. Not bad, necessarily. Pop off. Capitalism, man. I'm all for it. But it's not coming from a place of, and people would argue with me about this too, you know, because she says it does. But in our society, I think it's really hard to create art that is pure. I don't mean that as in, like, all art has to be the Sistine Chapel. I mean that simply in art is a form of wrestling with our emotions, with what it means to be human. And now we've made it into this thing where it's just kind of a moneymaker. Mm-hmm. And science has become the exact same thing. Pharmaceutical companies enjoy seeing people sick so that they can make money. Mm-hmm. And science at its purest form is, let's learn more about this stuff so we can prevent it, not so that we can cause it and then come up with a solution. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think that science in its purest form is art because it's God's art. Mm-hmm. It is an art form that has already been laid before us in an extremely pure and ordered form. And we just get to enjoy discovering it. Mm-hmm. We don't get to enjoy necessarily inventing it, coming up with it, which is what art is. It's coming up with new things, which at the same time, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, but new things for the human experience. Science is about discovering things that have always been and always will be. And I think that, yeah, we've gotten away from that in a lot of mm-hmm. ways. And so I think that if we got back to art, we would also get back to science.
Right.
Like, just as I thought through that question, that was kind of my initial, like, art, because science is art. Mm-hmm. Everything is art. Living is art. Existing is art. Mm-hmm. And so when you do that the way that you're supposed to, everything is art and everything is science. Like, they both go together in a lot mm-hmm. of different ways that I think makes the question very complex.
Mm-hmm. And I think that we have to go back to, okay, if God is creator, which he is, mm-hmm. then he has created us to be creative and to discover those things. And he wants us to discover them in harmonious ways so that yeah. everything that we're experiencing is ultimately leading us back to truth, which is leading us to himself because he is truth. And I think that that's where we really messed it up. We have really separated all of these different things, such as science and art and math and history. And you have mm-hmm. all of these different subjects where even in school, they're taught very distinctively. Mm-hmm. They are taught very separately. And the truth of the matter is that we should be showing kids and ourselves, as we continue to educate ourselves about things, that all of these different subjects and all of these different topics and matters come together. They should work in harmony, because our God is not a God of chaos. He is not a God who is like, oh, that's off on its own, that's off on its own, and you've got to, like, you know, separate them. No, everything comes together because he created everything to lead us back to himself. And so it's all going to flow together. It's all going to be harmonious, because when you discover that, you discover the consistency of his nature. And that is the beauty, I think, of all of these different things. When you bring them together and you keep them in their purest form, it's that I discover that God is consistent and that he is unmovable and that I can rely on him. And hopefully that brings us to a saving knowledge of his love and his grace to us. Mm-hmm. And so that's the whole point of all of these different things. And I think that that's another thing that we're getting wrong. Shall I bring up the public education system once
again? Do it, girl.
That we're getting wrong in the public school system is we're teaching all of these things very separately.
Yeah.
And we almost teach kids that they don't correlate, they don't relate, they don't anything.
Do not even try
don't
to
attempt
make them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that is so wrong. That is so wrong. And in that, the enemy is using that much to his advantage. Because kids aren't discovering, even at a young age, and this is why I love homeschooling so much, is that we were able to discover those things for ourselves.
Yeah.
And you test hypotheses, and you test these different things where it's like, oh, I see how that fits with that, and I see how this correlates, and I see how this all brings me back to the Lord is consistent. His nature is good, and that he loves us. And so in the public education system, though, we have separated all of those, and kids are taught, okay, I go to math, and that is not going to affect history. That is not going to affect science. That is not going to impact what I do in this class or this class. Mm-hmm. Everything's separate, and don't even try to think for yourself when it comes to joining them all together, because you just can't. It's too much work.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely the downfall of society in general, is just this constant separation of everything. Nothing can be constant, nothing can be true, and nothing can work together with something else flawlessly. Mm-hmm. That is why we have all of these identity crises.
Yes.
That is why we have all of these gender issues, and why marriages don't work, and why kids aren't really learning, and why science sucks now, and we can't follow the science because it's not actually there. And it's why art is not as good as it used to be, because we separate everything. And primarily, we separate everything from God first, and then we separate it from the others. And that is absolutely a fatal mistake, because literally nothing can thrive on its own. Right. Anything, period. We as human beings cannot, science cannot, art cannot. And so why do we try and separate it? Because we are trying to destroy ourselves in so many ways, because we are pursuing sin. And to pursue sin is to destroy yourself. And so that is what we're doing by separating all of this, is destroying ourselves, destroying our world, destroying our kids, and making it impossible for people to continue being creative, continue to make America the best when it comes to creativity. Mm-hmm. It's why relationships don't work, because, oh, right person, wrong time. They can't go together. Time and relationships are not coexisting things that absolutely, when you find the right person, it's the right time. Like, we don't believe that anything is constant, that anything happens for a reason. And so everything is being destroyed by that in every single area of our lives. Okay, so I am going to wrap this episode up in prayer, as we usually do. So please pray with us. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this day, and I just thank you for giving us these questions to talk about and to think through and to discuss here on the podcast. I pray that this episode was just encouraging to some of our listeners, and that it got all of us thinking about the way that you have ordered the world, the way that you have ordered our lives, and the way that you are intimately involved in everything that we do and everything that happens to us. And I pray that we would keep that in mind in the coming weeks, that we would just be fully reliant on you, because we know that everything works together for your purpose. And I pray that that would just be a truth that we come back to and that we lean on as we go into the world that is trying to separate everything and is trying to convince us that there is no order, that there is no God in anything. I pray that we would fight back against that by hanging on to these truths and contemplating them more and thinking through them more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Alrighty, guys, thank you so much for joining us for this episode. Please be sure to download this episode and all of our other, This is your challenge for this week, all of our other rapid fire questions episodes. We would absolutely appreciate that, and be sure to listen to those as well. And we will talk to y'all next Monday. Bye, guys.